Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On August 16th, the Democrat Congress and the President signed a $750 billion spending bill called the Inflation Reduction Act. At the end of last year, in 2021, the Democrats tried to pass their Build Back Better bill. But with the other two out-of-budget special spending bills that year, the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill and the $1.1 trillion infrastructure bill, the third bill, the Build Back Better bill, was a little too much for the public to stomach. But the Democrats wanted this spending bill passed in order to give billions to their constituents. I know that sounds very cynical, but that's what this is really all about. Handing out money to special interest groups that support the party. Funding a whole new class of people who live off of government salaries and grants. Don't be naive. That's the reason for these spending bills. The Democrats wanted this bill passed before the midterm elections because they knew that if the Republicans win seats in Congress in November, the spending bill will never see the light of day. So this summer, they rushed it through. And the Democrats rebranded their Build Back Better bill, and they called it the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, hey, polls say that people are concerned about inflation, so let's just change the name of the bill to the Inflation Reduction Act. There are politicians and staffers who sit in back rooms who know nothing about economics, but they come up with marketing slogans to sell programs. From a purely economic point of view, there's nothing in this bill that has anything to do with reducing inflation. This bill was not created for the purpose of reducing inflation. It was crafted for the purpose of more Democrat special interest spending. It was simply labeled the Inflation Reduction Act for appearance sake. The Congressional Budget Office, the bipartisan arm of Congress that determines the cost and the economic benefits of legislative bills, put out a report that stated the inflation reduction bill will do nothing to reduce inflation. But that didn't matter to these politicians. The title was pure propaganda. And when I first heard about this back in July, I thought it was a joke. I didn't think that the politicians would be so brazen. I mean, how can they get away with this? How stupid do they think the public is? Well, someone might say this is good marketing, but God calls it deception, a lie. Does this all sound familiar? It happened back in ancient Israel. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3, they bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land. Notice that lies prevail. In other words, lies are winning. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. In other words, they've developed methods for lying, marketing. Isaiah 59:3, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. And Psalm 52, your tongues devise destruction like a sharp razor, O workers of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what's right. You love all the words that devour, O deceitful tongue. So lying is endemic with the wicked. This bill does not reduce inflation, and they knew it. Now, they might even begin to believe their own lies. Someone could claim that, you know, the tax hikes in this bill reduce the amount of money people have in their pockets. That reduces spending, that reduces demand, and so that will reduce inflation. But that's a real stretch. They all know this bill was not created to reduce inflation. But the irony is that this bill will do the exact opposite. by increasing government debt and spending, this bill will increase inflation. And isn't that exactly like all ungodly policies? They inevitably produce the opposite of the intent. They don't reduce poverty, they increase poverty. They don't reduce crime, they increase crime. They don't reduce inequity and racism, they increase inequity and racism. Because these policies are based on the wrong worldview concerning cause and effect, concerning man, sin, and the source of law. Galatians chapter 6, the sinner thinks his sin and lawlessness will reap blessing, but it always reaps corruption. Hosea chapter 8, you sow the wind, emptiness, and you reap the whirlwind, a tornado. The famous economist Milton Friedman said, and every other major economist said this, inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon in the sense that it is and can be produced only by a rapid increase in the quantity of money. In other words, inflation is due to the government printing and spending too much money, inflating the money supply. It's the unjust measure spoken about in Deuteronomy 25, Leviticus 19, Proverbs 16, Proverbs 20, where there's not an honest dollar, where politicians who want to spend more money but don't want the unpopularity of raising taxes, they simply print money to fund government programs, which secretly steals money from everyone by devaluing the dollar. It's a great ruse that most people don't understand. The only way to reduce inflation is for the government to stop borrowing and spending. And that's not what this bill is about. This is not a government spending reduction bill. This bill increases government debt. The government is already spending way more than it takes in tax dollars, and it's been doing this for years. The federal government borrows $1 trillion every year to cover regular expenses. But that's still not enough money for these politicians. They're driven to spend and borrow even more so they can hand out even more money. And when the government borrows money, the Federal Reserve has to print money to cover it, and that increases the money supply, and that's why inflation is 10% this year. That inflation is a tax on the people. So the only way to stop inflation is for the federal government to stop spending more than it takes in, but that would mean a 30% cut to government expenditures, and these politicians will never do that. So America is going to borrow its way into bankruptcy. They're going to destroy the dollar as the world currency because these politicians simply cannot stop spending money. Isaiah 56:11, the dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied, and they are shepherds, meaning they're civic leaders, who have no understanding. They have turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say, let us get wine, and let us drink heavily of strong drink, and tomorrow will be like today, only more so. Did you hear that last phrase from the prophet? They were saying, tomorrow will be like today, only more so, meaning that even though we're greedy, everything will be fine in the future. We will manage, the nation will not be destroyed. Now, if you're listening to this program for the first time, you might be wondering about why this pastor is getting all political and railing against these politicians. Well, our nation has become corrupt, and this spending bill is just another evidence of the corruption. All I'm doing is chronicling the sins of the people, giving commentary on Romans chapter 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have turned aside. Together, they've become useless. And the American people need to be rebuked and warned concerning the disaster that's about to come upon this nation because of the foolish policies of our leaders. The New Testament church has a role, the role of being the prophet of this age. And in Isaiah 58, God tells the prophets to cry aloud, to do not hold back, to raise your voice like a trumpet, and to declare to my people their transgressions. So just to be complete, let's talk about what's in this inflation bill. First, this is the Green New Deal, pared down and renamed the Inflation Reduction Bill. The global warming crisis ideology is worked into this bill. Earthjustice.org calls the Inflation Reduction Bill the biggest climate investment in history. And it is. In this bill, $27 billion will go into a green bank that will provide more incentives for clean energy technology. $3 billion, that is $3,000 million, will go toward environmental justice block grants. And we know what environmental justice is all about. Groups propagating the critical race theory oppression narrative that pollution is racism. This is funding for CRT ideologues, their organizations, and their promotions with $3,000 million. $3 billion will also go to fund air pollution monitors in low-income communities. So how does it cost $3,000 million to set up CO2 monitors in the inner cities? I mean, you can buy a CO2 monitor for $70 on Amazon. I mean, the EPA should already be doing this. You know, this is very suspicious. Every time the government does something, it overcosts, and you can expect someone's pockets are being lined. $3 billion will be for the U.S. Postal Service to buy electric mail trucks. Will that help the environment? No, not in the least. The construction of these new vehicles and the electricity to charge the batteries will result in the same environmental impact as what the post office is already driving. But this is the religion of climate change, that CO2 is a pollutant and that it's a dangerous greenhouse gas, when in fact, CO2 is what every living plant needs to live. But the Biden administration's goal is to cut CO2 emissions by 50% by 2030. And it's all based on a lie. But they believe the lie as if it's the gospel. In this bill, the government will even pay companies $85 per ton to take carbon out of the air. In this bill, you can get a $7,500 subsidy from the government if you buy an electric car, and a $4,000 subsidy if you buy a used electric car. And if a business buys an electric car, the government will pay 30% of it. Almost half of the entire inflation bill, $370 billion, will be spent on climate change programs. I've yet to read where all of this money is going. A White House memo on the bill simply states that money is going to hundreds of federal programs. Here's an article. John Kerry, the climate czar appointed by Biden, has been exposed as keeping their climate plans from the public. Here's another article. Kerry's climate change office has been consulting with left-wing environmental groups. Well, of course, those groups are the priests of this religion. Spending billions of dollars to cool the earth is a colossal waste of money. And we know that. When President Trump came into office, he halted all federal monies being spent on this endeavor to stop global warming. Back in 2017, Mick Mulvaney, the president's budget director, said in a press conference, I think the president was fairly straightforward on this. We're not spending money on that anymore, referring to climate change. We consider that to be a waste of your money to go out and do that. And most Americans agree, unless they've been duped by the, climate change hysteria. Here's an article. Biden's Inflation Reduction Act will do almost nothing for the climate. And that's based on a Danish climate expert, Lomborg, and the Copenhagen Consensus Center. He has a book out called False Alarm, Cool It, and a book called Skeptical Environmentalism. Lomborg did the calculations. He plugged the Inflation Reduction Act measures into the United Nations warming models. And he discovered that the bill will do nothing to reduce global temperatures. Its impact, if everything works according to plan, will reduce the planet's temperature by 0.0009 degrees, which is equivalent to turning the temperature of a room down from 72 degrees to 71.9991 degrees. So let me make a prediction. By spending $370 billion, the U.S. federal government is not going to cool the planet. The hubris of it is hilarious, if it's not pathetic. Here's another good explanation from the Heritage Foundation. Follow the climate change money. Quote, "The first iron rule of American politics is follow the money. This explains, about 80% of what goes on in Washington. Shortly after the last Chicken Little climate change report was published last month, I noted on CNN that one reason so many hundreds of scientists are persuaded that the sky is falling is that they're paid handsomely to do so. A lot of people are getting really, really rich off of the climate change industry. According to a recent report by the U.S. Governmental Accountability Office, federal funding for climate change research, technology, international assistance, and adaptation has increased from $2.4 billion in 1993 to $11.6 billion in 2014, with an additional $26.1 billion for climate change programs and activities provided by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act in 2009. Now, this article was written in 2018. So now in 2022, with the Democrats in charge, there's another $370 billion being spent on stopping climate change. Well, the article goes on to explain that for $5 trillion, we could feed everyone on the planet, end malaria, and provide clean water and reliable electricity to every remote village in Africa. The entire Apollo project to put a man on the moon costs less than $200 billion. But we're spending twice that every year to change the climate. This tsunami of government money distorts science in hidden ways that even scientists who are corrupt don't appreciate. If you're a young, eager beaver researcher who decides to devote your life to studying global warming, you're probably not going to do your career any good or get famous by publishing research that the crisis isn't happening. But if you build bogus models that predict the crisis is getting worse by the day, then step right up and get a multi-million dollar grant. Now, here's the real scandal of the near $1 trillion that the government has stolen from taxpayers to fund climate change hysteria and research. By the industry's own admission, there has been almost no progress worldwide in actually combating climate change. The latest reports by the U.S. government and the United Nations say that the problem is getting worse, not better, and we have not delayed the apocalypse by a single day. Has there ever been such massive government expenditure that has had such minuscule returns on investment? After three decades of research, the only solution is for the world to stop using fossil fuels, which is like saying we should stop growing food. Really, the greatest minds of the world, entrusted with hundreds of billions of dollars, can only come up with a solution that would entail the largest government power grab in the world's history, shut down industrial production. Just look at the catastrophe in Germany when they went all in for green energy, and throwing perhaps billions of human beings into poverty. If that's the remedy, I will take my chances on a warm planet. President Trump should tell these scientists that you're fired, and we taxpayers should demand our money back. Sorry that article was so long, but it was good. So, that's the global warming part of the bill. Another aspect of the bill is funding the Affordable Care Act. medical insurance premiums are subsidized by the federal government. These subsidies are scheduled to expire at the end of this year. The inflation bill funds the program for another 3 years at a cost of about $70 billion. Then there is $80 billion given to the IRS to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Now, the danger in this is a whole other God and country program. But do the math on this. This would only pay the salaries of these new employees for about a year and a half. And Congress believes that these new auditors would eventually pay for themselves with all of the new tax revenues they can bring in by catching tax cheats. But if you think about this, 87,000 people have to be taken out of producing real wealth to be a layer of bureaucracy to collect taxes. The workforce in America is about 150, 160 million people. And the IRS plans to double their employees to 160,000 people. Way too many workers to collect taxes. It wouldn't be so bad if it weren't for the fact that there were already 30 million other government employees, so that one out of every five employees work for either the federal, state, or local governments. That's unsustainable. And that's why the government has to borrow 30 cents on every dollar to keep the government running. See, the problem with this bill is that it's rooted in this false ideology of socialism. That what must be done by and through government. The government has to spend money and hire people to fix every perceived problem. Calvin Coolidge once said, "It doesn't follow that just because something needs to be done, the government needs to do it." And that's how American leadership used to think. But now our secular leaders have an infatuation with government. Government is their god. And it's assumed in their political ideology and in their theology that new government programs are the solution. That government needs to grow ever larger. And that's why they cannot stop themselves from spending more and more money every year. Money we don't even have. Here's a good quote from Benjamin Weicker in his book, The Worship of the State, How Liberalism Became Our State Religion. Quote, "Our future is then quite literally open-ended. We don't know what we'll make of ourselves. Living in a godless biological world without ends, we're free to remake ourselves in the image of whatever we imagine. The human species is a work in progress, bound only by the present state of technology and the supply of money to support its advance." So this is the ideology of a godless people. The way to human advancement and progress is by spending money through the government. You know, I don't want to get into this too much, but I hope you understand that economically, government is by nature wasteful. All government purchases are third-party purchases, where it's not the purchaser's money and it's not the purchaser's product. And this always results in high cost, low quality, and there's nothing one can do about that. Plus, as Ronald Reagan said, government cannot control the economy without controlling people. And they know that when government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve that purpose. With big government, there's always the loss of freedom. When you lose economic freedom, you lose all freedoms. And big government always produces a class of elites, a deep state, that decides what the general will of the public should be. And the people who redistribute the wealth of others are elevated into positions of influence and power. He who controls the purse strings has the power. And evil is parasitic. It lives off of those who work by the sweat of their brow. Big government always ends up supporting a class of idle people who accomplish very little. Oh, of course, they have to go to work, they have to do reports, they have to shuffle papers around. But it's not really necessary. They don't produce goods and services that people would naturally pay for, but they live off of the power to tax other people for their salaries. Karl Marx never worked a day in his life. He freeloaded off of society. For example, it would be better if the 5,000 people who work for the Department of Education left their offices in Washington and went into the inner cities to tutor children in reading, writing, and arithmetic. They would accomplish so much more by doing the actual work of educating than by being a layer of bureaucracy. The accountability that comes with the free market is what God has ordained to keep evil people from being empowered. One way to stop evil and foolish ideologies is to cut the source of the funding. And that's what really scares the left about conservatives getting into power. The gravy train might stop. If the budget is balanced, there goes 30% of government employees. This problem of a greedy bureaucratic class constantly taxing the people is what the Old Testament prophets spoke against continually. Ezekiel 34, the fat shepherds, the civic leaders who feed themselves and not the flock. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 6, woe to him who increases what's not his and makes himself rich with loans. Is that not what our politicians are doing in printing dollars to increase government spending and power? People often make the mistake of thinking government is a charitable organization. It's not. It is also driven by greed and power. So one of the major problems in this inflation bill is the greed that's motivating it. Jeremiah 56:11, the dogs are greedy. They're not satisfied. Jeremiah 6:13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And it's not just the politicians, but it's the American people who want the entitlements. Jeremiah 5:31, the leaders are corrupt and my people love it so. And if you want a New Testament text about the default condition of the unsaved, Ephesians 4:19, they practice every kind of impurity with greediness. Or 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Or 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, men will be lovers of money rather than lovers of God. Remember, we are dealing with orcs, the living dead. Ephesians chapter 2, the unsaved are dead in their trespasses and sins. Well, of course, some of the image of God remains, but they're still dead in their souls, and the image of God is daily decreasing. Satan, whenever he speaks a lie, remember, he speaks from his own nature. And in that text, Jesus said the leadership was of the same nature. They were of their father, the devil. They are liars just like their father. So sometimes we just have to remember who we're dealing with. Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Now, political pundits often say we should never call our opponents evil, because that's going to lead to polarization and incivility. But Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 8. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. We should identify evil when we see it. We should call it for what it is. Proverbs 28, verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked. But notice the next phrase. Those who keep the law strive with them. So we need to keep striving against those who forsake God's law. Now, over the past 2 weeks, we have all heard a lot of conservative punditry complaining about this inflation bill. But have you noticed the spiritual problem is left out? Certainly, the greed factor is not being discussed. And there's not a prophetic word about why this is happening in America. Why are politicians deluded into bankrupting the nation? Well, the Bible explains why. This is God's judgment upon an ungodly nation. God's judgment has already begun. In giving us leaders who will enact foolish policies to destroy the country. Zechariah chapter 11. for behold, I'm going to raise up shepherds in the land who will not care for the perishing, seek the scattered, heal the broken, or sustain the one standing, but will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hoofs. Isaiah chapter 3, I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them, and the people will be oppressed. So God gives a sinful nation the leaders they deserve, leaders who enact foolish policies that bring the nation down. As John Calvin wrote in the Institutes, those magistrates who rule for the public good are true examples and specimens of God's beneficence, while those who domineer unjustly and tyrannically are raised up by God to punish the people for their iniquity. Remember King Rehoboam's folly? As a new king, he followed his advisors who told him to raise taxes on the people. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 15. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turning of events from the Lord. Given the immorality and idolatry in the land, God knew it was necessary for the nation to be split. In order to punish the wicked in Israel, to protect the righteous by splitting the nation and disempowering the wicked to a degree. Economic collapse must eventually happen in America. With moral lawlessness, there will be economic lawlessness. If our leaders are not following God's word concerning sexual morality and gender, don't think they will follow God's word concerning economic accountability and responsibility. They will sell a store. They will hand out cash. They will party until all the money is gone. Isaiah chapter 8, then they will pass through the land hard pressed and famished, and it will turn out that when they're hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. They're going to blame everyone but themselves. But they will look to the earth and behold darkness and distress, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. Well, that could happen in the next 25 years, the next 10 years, the next 5 years. But that's the real crisis. The economic collapse from overspending. The real crisis is not global warming. But they're blind to that because they've rejected the word of the Lord. So the church needs to warn these political leaders that they're bringing the judgment of God down upon this nation. They are God's destroyers, and after they have finished destroying, they will be destroyed. One more point. The economic policies of our elected leaders is so foolish, spending money like there's no tomorrow. I'm sure you have heard all of these conspiracy podcasters who are claiming that this is really a secret plot to bring down the American economy, to create a crisis to bring in communism, that this is a Saul Alinsky strategy for bankrupting the country. But I don't believe that's true. That might be the effect, but that's not the motive. Did Rehoboam, in his economic folly, actually want to destroy his nation? No, he thought he was blessing the nation. He didn't see the consequences of his sin and greed. And the scriptures never explain the sins of the wicked kings of Israel as some sort of secret conspiracy, where these kings were playing some sort of three-dimensional political chess game. No, they were simply blinded to the foolishness of their policy. These conspiracy pundits are actually saying that Biden is working with the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and China to collapse the American economy, that these Democrat politicians actually know that the global warming crisis is one big hoax, but they want to pass the Green New Deal to destroy the economies of Western nations. There are globalists out there, but these politicians play into their hands unwittingly. I imagine that these conspiracy theorists, imagine that there must be a plot because the disastrous results of these leftist policies seem so obvious. I mean, who would be so stupid as to pass these spending bills? Well, the Rehoboams, the Manassas, the King Ahabs of the world were quite stupid. To say it's a secret conspiracy is to give these ungodly leaders way too much credit. They're deluded. They actually believe they're doing good. They actually believe this inflation bill will save America and the world. Isaiah 47:10, your wisdom and your knowledge have deluded you. This bill is not a conspiracy plot. It is the natural, inevitable consequence of these people's faulty worldview, their lawlessness. So what are we to do about it? Well, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. The bill has been signed into law. All we can do now is sit back and watch the economic train wreck. But along the way, as the train wreck is happening, as God's ambassadors, we need to explain to the world the mistake that's being made. Not just ranting against bad policy. We need to make the biblical points with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, that this is where a nation ends up when it abandons God. That this is greed. That God has raised up these foolish leaders to judge the nation. And the judgment has already begun. And our message should not focus on saving America, but on being saved from this perverse generation, turning to Christ and his kingdom for personal salvation. Because the world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. All the political news is irrelevant if we don't use it to point people to Jesus Christ. So make this inflation bill all about these biblical lessons. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Don't forget to subscribe, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.